I always have to set up to record the homily. there is an Italian word that is used in religious orders, given the vow of poverty that these men and women would choose to make. And that word is distacco. Distacco, it's not pistachio. It's distacco. It means detachment, you know, separation, to part from something, distacco. And we may not be a group of men and women religious who have made a vow of poverty, and we may or may not be Italians, but perhaps this word, distacco, should be close to all of our hearts. After all, you know, isn't it true that our lives are often filled with the opposite of distacco? Our lives are filled with attachments. You know, our eyes, you know, are often fixed, whether we are wealthy or not, upon many things in life. Mostly things such as the newest things that would be amazing to have. We are attached to idols such as athletes, singers, or celebrities. And we are attached to our cell phones. So much so that studies show we are on our phones 5 hours a day. Sometimes we are even attached to unhealthy relationships, friendships that are harmful. Now, all of these attachments direct our attention. They take our time. They steal our energies. They alter our gaze. They alter our gaze upon the things, or the thing that truly matters, God's own loving gaze upon us. And that's the very dynamic we find in the gospel narrative before us today. Now, it's such an interesting scene in the midst of the Gospel of Mark. Keep in mind that the Gospel of Mark, that this gospel is terse, and it's perhaps the tersest of the gospels. It's abrupt. Mark's technique is to have Jesus, you know, like always on the move. To have Jesus always on the move. That is why if you read through the Gospel of Mark, the word immediately is often there, often appears. Immediately Jesus did this. Immediately Jesus went from this place to this place. Immediately. Mark rarely goes into details as he keeps Jesus always on the move. No, but in the midst of this gospel, our reading today, Mark dedicates an entire line, a breathing point to describe and to paint the scene. In the encounter with this rich young man, we enter an extraordinary moment of genuine tenderness of the person of Jesus. For Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Now Jesus, no doubt overwhelmed as he was, looked at him and loved him. Jesus, surrounded, always surrounded by mobs of people, took this unique moment and looked at him and loved him. Jesus, the teacher, the healer, looked at this young man and loved him. Jesus kept his gaze upon this young man. But we see, but never in this intimate account of Jesus' gaze upon this young man, did the young man look back. If only he have looked back at Jesus, he would have seen that which would have fulfilled him. If only he averted his eyes for a moment from his wealth or from his knowledge of the law. If only he had looked up and seen that despite his weaknesses, despite his emptiness, that he was profoundly loved. Yet in the end, this young man, surrounded by his wealth and more literally because of his greed, was not able to gaze upon our blessed Lord. He was not able to look upon Jesus and see the love Jesus had for him. To be disciples, brothers and sisters, our eyes, our gaze must be fixed on our blessed Lord. The disciples who surrounded Jesus, they themselves, although not perfect at keeping their gaze upon Jesus, understood this. They had captured Jesus' gaze, and he had captured theirs. And while they were amazed and astonished and sometimes dumbfounded and utterly bewildered and confused, they realized that in looking upon Jesus, in staying close to Jesus, they had to give up everything to follow him. Brothers and sisters, we are disciples. We are disciples. We are the ones who are invited to look into Jesus' eyes as he looks into ours. And the truth is, many things do hold and demand our attention. Yet as disciples, are we willing to give up everything to follow Jesus? Are we willing to turn our eyes away from those distractions in life that keep us from following him? Things like bitterness and anger, envy and revenge, judgment, hatred, trivial needs and wants, consumerism and materialistic dependencies. Being a disciple of Christ demands wisdom. Demands wisdom, as in our first reading says. The first reading, actually, that is the prayer of Solomon. It is Solomon speaking. It was his prayer as a young king, pleading God to give him wisdom. And wisdom invites us into seeking the true treasure of life. Wisdom invites us into prayer and silence so that we can truly see the face of God who is always gazing upon us. And it is in that gaze that we will find the greatest treasure of all, God's infinite love for us. God's infinite love despite our brokenness, our weaknesses, our imperfections, our attachments. But it also requires a response to let go of these attachments. Today, well, just hours ago, actually, Pope Francis canonized 7 saints in Rome. And in his homily, he said, "All these saints, in different contexts, put today's word into practice in their lives without lukewarmness, without calculation, with the passion to risk everything and leave it all." And one of those saints canonized today is Saint Oscar Romero, the bishop from El Salvador. And Oscar Romero understood this need to always have our gaze fixed upon our blessed Lord in the midst of his own comfort and experiences of power, which blinded him to the needs of others. He came to understand that in order to truly capture God's gaze and give his full heart to God, he had to let go of all those things that prevent him from being a shepherd. And his witness truly speaks for itself. He was killed while saying Mass. I hope it doesn't happen to me, but if it does. And one of his quotes is this: "If we are worth anything, it is not because we have more money or more talent or more human qualities. Insofar as we are worth anything, it is because we are grafted unto Christ's life, his cross and resurrection. That is a person's measure." That is a person's measure. Because our blessed Lord always fixed his eyes upon us with love, with tenderness and compassion. So brothers and sisters, may we gaze upon our blessed Lord and keep our gaze upon him in our lives. And may we exclaim like the disciples, "Master, we have given up everything to follow you, to look upon you, to sit in your love." And here in this meal, in this blessed meal, we adore the blessed sacrament. Let us look upon our God, the God who always look upon us and love us. And let us share that same gaze of love that Christ always has for us, for one another. Amen.